You're listening to Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM. This is Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. To be a part of our program, dial toll-free 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Then you can talk to our hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. We're right in the middle of the work week, still raining outside. If you're heading out to work this morning, please be careful for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's a lot of water on the road. Number two, there could be water rushing across the road, over across your path that normally you would not even think would be there because of the amount of rain that we've had. We are under a flash flood warning and watch, I think, throughout the rest of the day. And the other reason is that there could be tree limbs have fallen. We ran into some debris last night, a little bit of debris going to the airport to pick up Amber and Jackson and Ezra coming back from being with Bobby over the weekend. So anyway, just be careful as you go out today. This is Tony Bean, Vice President for Student Life and Christian Worldview at North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference. My co-host is Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly opinionated and unashamedly conservative. Yeah, we don't even have music now. You just talk so long.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can do that because
you can. You know why?
Because I'm Tony Bean.
You're Tony Bean.
I can talk if I want to talk. I'm genuinely concerned because people don't normally think that rain is a big deal. It's no big deal. I mean, it's raining. It's rained before. It'll rain again.
Right.
We get this much rain, it's a big deal. They're talking about, they're having mudslides in Polk County, mm-hmm. North Carolina, near Tryon. You've got roads closed in the mountains in North Carolina you've got a bunch of people being evacuated this morning because of the possibility of a dam breaking.
Yeah. You're right. There is things. And, I was talking to somebody who, they had to go through a back street to get out for work this morning. And they're like, I can't drive through this. The road hadn't been well done. Then it was just like this huge washout. And they're like, I don't think I can drive through this basically gully full of water.
Well, I drove last night. We were headed to the airport. I drove through this stuff coming across the road, and it was water and mm-hmm. mud. It was coming up out of a creek that's usually just a little stream.
Right.
And this was actually coming up over the road. Now, it had subsided some by the time we got back because of the rain. It was mm-hmm. raining so hard when we left. And that's another issue. We're getting so much rain over a short period of time. It's mm-hmm. not so much the volume if it's spread out, but you start getting, a couple of inches in a couple of hours, and the ground's just not going to be able to absorb all that. So anyway, just be careful today. Mm-hmm. Pay attention because we're going to have 70% chance of rain today. Tomorrow it drops to 60%. And then as we get toward the weekend, it looks like Saturday's going to be pretty nice.
Yeah.
High of 90 degrees. And they're actually calling for a good bit of sunshine, so maybe we can dry out a little bit as we get toward mm-hmm. the weekend. Well, big story yesterday, of course, cut number 3, if you pull that up over there, was the Roseanne story. We'll talk about it first today because that was on the tip of everybody's tongue. It's more bad news for Disney. You want to put this in some context. Mm-hmm. Disney, just the ABC network, is owned by Walt Disney, the Disney company. And, they just had to cancel their number one television show yesterday. And on top of that, the Solo movie is just
not doing
flopping.
Well. Yeah.
It's hard to say $101 million. What a flop!
Yeah.
But when you're spending the kind of money it takes to make movies these days, they expected a lot more out of this particular movie. All right, here's the story.
Roseanne apologized to Jared and all Americans for, quote, making a bad joke, but the damage was done. ABC canceled the reboot of Roseanne. Comedian Wanda Sykes, who consulted on the show, quit, and Valerie Jarrett responded on MSNBC.
I think we have to turn it into a teaching moment. I'm fine. I'm worried about all the people out there who don't have a circle of friends and followers who come right to their defense.
It should be noted, Roseanne Barr has a history of being controversial both on her show and in real life. Back in the 90s, the show Roseanne, much to ABC's displeasure, routinely dealt with topics like gay marriage, abortion, and racism.
Okay. Comments, response, what do you think?
Well, you know, I had a lot of friends yesterday who, first of all, there's like this big movement that's, you know, a picture of Roseanne amongst conservatives. And they're like, I stand with Roseanne. And I'm like, please don't. Please don't do this to yourselves.
Look, she's because, a left wing.
Right. She is. She has
she's
like.
She's as leftist as they can.
Oh, she is. And people have it. I don't understand how they can't see that. Even if you watch her show, it's very evident that every now and then she says positive things about Trump, I guess. But she's just so angry about everything that that's part of the reason. And it's she really her policies are pro. She's pro abortion in the show. She's pro LGBTQ, all of these other things. But just because she drops Trump's name every now and then, now we're like, oh, she's our champion. Absolutely not. And please don't you dare let me see you say I stand with Roseanne when she's made comments like this. It was completely within the rights of ABC. It is not a free speech issue either. Free speech in the First Amendment has to do with government and the government infringing on that right. This has
now,
nothing
this
to do
workplace.
With this is workplace.
It's
this
the
is,
same
this goes
thing
back
with
to the
NFL.
NFL. That's right. Jinx. That's exactly right.
Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby. That's what she said. If you're wondering, if you haven't seen that, surely you have. She was talking about Valerie Jarrett, and this was a comment about her looks and obviously her heritage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just can't. Yes, can you say things like that? You can, but you might lose your job.
Yeah.
And ABC has the right to decide who can work for them and who can't. So this mm-hmm. is, you're exactly right. This is not a free speech issue. It doesn't rise to that level because she's not being hampered or shut down by the government. She's not being forced or taken to a concentration camp because of what she said. Mm-hmm. She's not being forced to recant. She's not mm-hmm. being, she lost her job. And, you know, the sad part about it to me is that all the other people that work at on that show, I mean, a television show, there's about 100 people.
Right. She actually put out a tweet last night and kind of apologized to all those people. She said, I apologize for all the people that are going to lose their jobs because of, a senseless tweet that I put out. The other thing that I keep seeing people say over and over again about all of this is what a double standard it is by ABC and by our celebrity and by Hollywood who are saying, and there is some truth to that, but here's what we say, what I say in response to that too, which is that, look, when people are, I'm a parent. When my child makes a mistake, I hold that child accountable for their actions despite their best attempts to point the finger at other people. No matter what everybody else is doing, I say, no, you're responsible for your choices. And you don't get an out because other people make worse choices. No, you still have a high standard that I hold you to. And you know what? It's totally fair for a company and a business to say the same thing. You know what? It doesn't matter what all these other people are doing. We're going to hold you to a standard. And of course, you know, we still would like to see an element of, okay, if you're going to, it needs to be across the board, but still.
Okay. Gene, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I'd like to give you a perspective of this that you may not have considered. What was the name of the person Roseanne had criticized?
Valerie Jarrett.
You know?
Valerie Jarrett is the person.
How many Americans know that Valerie Jarrett?
Oh, I imagine there's quite a few because
no,
they're in
very
there, but...
no. Very.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gene. I forgot your opinions are absolutely supreme on the program. So that's the thing. Valerie Jarrett was the number one advisor to President Obama. Her name was in the news quite prominently for 8 years.
You talk to liberals.
So I would imagine
don't know who she is. I talked to many liberals. They've never heard of her.
Oh, okay. So your world defines what everything
never
is all
heard
about.
Of her. And
all right.
And,
all right.
And
so what's your point?
Opportunity for people to investigate what she's in her positions.
Why would that be so, Gene? I mean, why
because
does somebody insulting
what,
her?
What she has,
so,
she
so you are you defending? Just answer this question: are you defending Roseanne? Is that
anti-Judeo-Christian
are you okay?
That Obama had adhered to.
Okay, I agree. Her philosophies are not good.
Roseanne.
Now, her philosophies are not good. I agree. Valerie Jarrett was a primary mover and shaker of Obama, and still is. I think currently she's running an organization that President Obama has that is continuing to exert political influence. There's no question that she played the victim in this, in a way, because the first thing out of her mouth was that this all begins at the top. So she's trying to blame Donald Trump for the fact that Roseanne Barr said something that was stupid. And by the way, Roseanne Barr has been saying stupid stuff mm-hmm. a long time before Donald Trump ever decided to get into politics.
I'm
So there's no question. Oh, no, you're not going to talk about anything until I finish. There's no question that after, you know, that this has been, it's going to be turned back around and that the left is going to try to use it. But none of that excuses or does anything to mitigate the fact that Roseanne Barr made a terrible racist comment about another person that had nothing to do with her politics, and she got fired for it. And that's basically what happened yesterday. I hate it for the people that work on that show, but Roseanne, at some point, you would think she would grow up and understand that she's going to be held accountable for things that she does in the workplace. You still there?
May I continue?
Sure. Now you
all
can.
Right. No, I'm giving you a perspective. I know you're upset about what I said, but I'm telling you that there's a perspective here people haven't seen. And you grab a number of people that voted for Hillary and Obama and ask them who is Jarrett, and they won't know who she is. And they won't know her anti-Judeo-Christian positions and her position with the Islamist movement here in America.
So?
As well as her pro...
What's that got to do with this? It has nothing to do with this.
I'm not excusing Roseanne Barr. I'm just telling you, a door, that there's a light opening, if you will. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, Gene, with all due respect, that's ridiculous. There are a lot of liberals and progressives that don't know half of the political leaders in the Democrat Party. That doesn't have anything to do with any of this, with any of what Roseanne said, or it doesn't fit the context. It doesn't make any difference. Valerie Jarrett, whether she's a good person, a bad person, or whether we agree with her philosophically or not, does not deserve to be compared to the offspring of somebody from the Muslim Brotherhood and a person from the Planet of the Apes. That's unacceptable. Roseanne got called on it. I'm actually glad she did. ABC made the right choice. I wish that they would make the right choice about other people mm-hmm. that attack people that we would agree with. Like, for example, Joy Behar. I don't even know. Is The View on CBS? What network does
it?
It's
ABC,
on?
I think.
Is it ABC?
Yeah, I think so.
I have no clue. I don't keep up with stuff like that. But wherever it is, if Joy Behar works for ABC, then it's reasonable to ask the question, her insult of Christians, does that not rise to the level that Roseanne Barr sunk to? I mean, is it okay to go after Christians for Joy Behar, but it's not okay for Roseanne to do what she did? And you'd have to ask the question, is there a little bit of the fact that ABC probably doesn't much like the fact that Roseanne has been successful because the success is based on a lot of Trump supporters? I mean, I just don't think ABC wants that, and this was a good opportunity for them. But again, it's whether any of that is true. In my view, it was the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Whether it was fair or not. I mean, you know, you look at this and you say, okay, we would like for them to have the same standard for The View. And it is ABC that hosts The View. You know, you and I would say, yeah, you know what, we want them to have the same standard for The View, etc.
Well, and the question's been raised, is Joy Behar in the crosshairs now? I mean, just because she wasn't fired then doesn't mean now that ABC has taken this action. This has raised her name back up to the forefront about whether or not enough was done.
Well, and it
now she apologized, but so did Roseanne. Roseanne said she was done with Twitter. It lasted about 8 hours, and she came back out. And she said she's blaming Ambien, by the way, that
she
can't sleep, and she took the drug so that she could, and it caused her to do and say things that, and well, maybe so. I don't know, but you've got to know yourself well enough to know that if you're not in control of your faculties, you don't pick up the phone and start tweeting. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back. Stay with us.
And here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, welcome back to the program. We got a short segment. I want to throw this story in about Missouri Governor yesterday resigning from office. Eric Greshens was, and of course, you can't pick up a news story today without having to read that he was a rising star in the Republican Party. And the reason for that, of course, is any time a rising star in the Republican Party becomes a shooting star, that is, it kind of flares out, then there's celebration among progressives. So they want to portray it that way. They want you to go, oh, so this is the kind of people Republicans go out and... It's just really bad. But anyway, this guy, we're talking about a guy who was a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, you said Purple Heart, right?
He had a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star.
Wow.
Tours in Afghanistan, in Iraq. And I mean, there's a ton of other things that he's been involved in that would say to anybody who was willing to look at this that he would be a great candidate. And he basically portrayed all the politicians in Missouri as being a bunch of corrupt lackeys, and he got elected. I mean, he's one of these guys that, you know, the first time he goes out and runs for political office, he gets elected governor of Missouri,
right,
which is a pretty big deal. But actually, it's been pretty short-lived because he got wrapped up in a bunch of scandal. Apparently, he did have an affair after accusing all these Republicans in Missouri, which now he needs to give him cover, and he doesn't have them because he called them all a bunch of immoral lackeys. He had an affair with his hairdresser, with somebody that he met at a hair salon. Mm-hmm. And, she says that it was consensual, but then it turned kind of ugly when he tied her up and took a picture of her nude and basically said, if you ever mention my name, I'm going to splash this all over the world. And mm-hmm. I'll show everybody what kind of a person you are. Mm-hmm. He didn't use that word, but it was a very right. derogatory term that you can imagine. So there's that. But when they charged him with that, that was a felony. Because she brought charges, the prosecutor went after him, but they couldn't find the picture. It's like mm-hmm. the picture disappeared. So they dropped that charge. But at the same time they were dropping that charge, they charged him with illegal tampering of a computer because evidently he went in and got a donor list that he was not supposed to have in relation to the campaign. So, you know, I just wonder how the people of Missouri see this. Because here you've got a guy who a lot of people put a lot of stock in. Mm-hmm. He pretty much played the persecution card when he resigned yesterday. I don't have the whole thing. It was way too long. But this is cut number 8. This is what he said when he resigned. He said that by 5 o'clock Friday, you'll be out of office. Here it is.
Today, I am announcing that I will resign as governor of Missouri effective Friday, June 1st. At 5 p.m.
You know, I'm not trying to defend this guy, but I've been trying to do some research. I went back mm-hmm. and read about a lot of this because, you know, I happened to be in the gym when he was making his resignation speech. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how these people have come after him and he's had to spend millions of dollars to defend himself and they're trying to bankrupt him and his family. But the bottom line is, he did have the affair. Now, whether mm-hmm. he turned into some kind of monster and treated this woman horribly, I don't know that we're going to know the answer to that because mm-hmm. it's a he said, she said.
Yep.
You know, when you have an affair, there's usually not a whole lot of witnesses.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of hard to nail that down. But with the campaign charge, that he had made so many people in Missouri mad, particularly Republicans, and Republicans pretty much control all of the government in Missouri, that they were more than willing. I mean, they were having impeachment hearings, and they would have driven him out of office if he hadn't resigned. This could have an impact. I mean, you got Claire McCaskill from Missouri. She's seen as being very vulnerable. That's a Senate seat that Republicans mm-hmm. hope to pick up, and now they're worried that this scandal with the governor might affect the way people respond. They may be inclined, you know, Claire McCaskill might use this against the Republicans as a whole and somehow hang on to her Senate seat, even though Donald Trump won Missouri by a wide margin. So I don't know. I mean, do you ever get feelings about things that you just, all this stuff is said, and then there's some little part in the back of your brain that goes, you know, I'm just not sure. Mm-hmm. Navy SEAL, Bronze Star, Purple Heart, you know, but he was like, he got this Washington internship. He's a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, everything that he's done has been top of the mark. Now, that doesn't mean that a person can't succumb to immorality. Don't get me wrong. But it just seems odd to me that a guy with those qualifications, that kind of background, those kind of standards, suddenly decided to just throw it all away based on the kind of stuff that we're talking about. I could see in a minute that he had an affair.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I could see how an affair would happen. But some of these other, you know, the felony invasion of privacy charge, which was later dropped. And then some other things, it's kind of like, I don't know. Well, I can see what you're saying. You kind of have a little bit of a question mark on it.
And I've read a bunch of stuff.
But even the greatest men that we know, you know, of the Christian faith, they all, you know, they have
feet of clay.
Yes, feet of clay.
I mean, it's sin's pretty pervasive, and it can affect anybody's life. And you know, I think what I would say is that I want to watch this over the next few months and see if he's convicted of something.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that he just made a lot of people mad in the political class?
Well, it's like Moore from Alabama.
Yeah.
Roy Moore, you know, when they just, people just, they were mad and they had an agenda and so they just came after him. And, you know, it's like, well, at months and months later, has anything really come of this? No, he just lost the race.
Right.
And it's like,
and the only lawsuits out there are the ones that he has against the people that brought these accusations against him. Now, I don't expect that's going to go anywhere. But, and look, don't get me wrong. I know I'm going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm just trying to look at something from a distance and make a value judgment. I have no idea what kind of person Roy Moore is, and neither do you, unless you know him. See, this is the thing. We read media reports, and we form conclusions based on what? Very little, because we don't have the report. I mean, the police report, the ins and outs. You know, Roy Moore had his political career ruined by things that happened 20 years ago or more that were largely unverifiable. What people said about him, about these charges, were that they sounded legitimate, that the women sounded like they should be believed. Well, what is that the new standard for bringing a person down? Is that we like the sound of what these stories sound like, and men are pigs anyway, so he probably is, you know, that's him. And the same thing here with this guy. You know, from a Christian worldview perspective, I think we should be slow to be sitting in judgment of other people when we don't know all the ins and outs of what has happened with them. And so I would like to wait and say, I mean, this guy may be,
he may be the worst of the worst.
He may be. He could be. But sitting here and looking at it, I just know that in this culture that we live in today, we get up every day, we read a story, and we go, wow, that's a terrible guy. Well,
it's just like last week we had the police officers who were accused of, being racist.
Patrolman.
The state patrolman, being racist and sexually assaulting this woman, or just et cetera. And it was all, the whole thing was proven false because he had a body cam.
Right.
They were able to produce the video. But people were crucifying that state trooper because of that. And without any kind of evidence, it was just on the what she said.
Right.
They were willing to destroy his career. And unfortunately, we see that so often, and this very well may be a case of the exact same thing happening.
It could be.
It may not be.
He could be the devil with the blue dress on.
He could
be. There's just no way.
Yeah.
there's really no way to know for sure. But bottom line is, come 5 o'clock on Friday, one thing we know for sure, he's not going to be the governor of Missouri anymore. And his political career is probably over. Maybe a good thing, maybe not so good. We'll see going forward if anything comes out of it. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. Yesterday, at the end of the program, we had a short period of time to talk about some of these immigration issues that are pretty hot button right now. I want to go back and revisit some of that information in a more systematic fashion in the next segment. So if you're curious about whether we really have lost 1,400 children, if the Trump administration lost them somewhere, stay with us and we'll explain what that means when we come back.
Here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Beam.
All right, this is Tony Beam, and got Hannah Miller over here having a sip of McDonald's. Isn't that McDonald's?
Coca-Cola. Yep.
I thought that was...
It is the Golden Arches.
Caffeine of choice.
It is my caffeine of choice. And I was so disappointed. I went through a McDonald's yesterday and they ruined my entire order as far as like what I was just getting French fries for my kid. That's all I wanted was French fries for my two daughters because they did really well in a doctor's appointment. And I was like, and Ruth asked, she said, hey, can I have some French fries? And I was like, you know what? Yes, you can. We'll go buy those dollar French fries. So we got, you know, paid our dollar and I asked for a drink because McDonald's Coca-Cola is far superior to anybody else and there's science behind that. Yeah. But anyway, I get up to their window and they're like, we're out of Coca-Cola. The machine's broken. Can we give you Dr. Pepper? And I was like, I guess. I mean, it was just, I was just so upset. I mean, I wasn't really, but, you know, I was like, really? And then they gave us, like, this a whole nother meal, and it wasn't enough fries for both my kids. And I was just like, whatever. We'll see you guys later. You guys, three French fries apiece. Okay.
Well, they should – a couple of things that I would think about that. Number one, you know, McDonald's – I couldn't even have Starbucks coffee yesterday afternoon because they were having sensitivity training.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe McDonald's needs sensitivity training for their Coke machines and the way that they treated you. And the other question I would ask, you know, is there something unusual – the kids did real well at the doctor's appointment, so let's give them food that is probably going to kill them over a period of time. Let's
well, it was only
feed
three
them French fries.
Fries.
Okay. Well, that's right.
It was only
See?
Three.
That's what I do.
God is sovereign. He was watching out for
that's
that.
Right.
You know?
Over. Take this terrible mother and protect her kids from the evil French fries. Listen, I think it's great. I love French fries. That's
yeah,
one of
you
my
know,
favorite
can't
things.
Go wrong.
All right. We said we're going to talk a little bit more about this immigration policy that we got into yesterday. There are some things about, you know, the left wing mantra is that the Trump administration is ripping children out of their parents' right. arms and taking them away and putting them into some kind of horrible conditions, making them sleep in cages. Oh, that was the Obama administration. In case you missed that yesterday, the pictures that went out we're over from- the weekend were children sleeping in what looked like a dog kennel. And that they turned out those pictures were from 2014. Mm-hmm. That was the Obama administration, not the Trump administration. Now, they immediately went out and tried to find some pictures of children separated from their parents during the Trump administration. But the point being that this policy, which is being touted as some horrible thing that the Trump administration has done, has been the policy for a number of years. In fact, it's been the law since 1997.
That's right.
When a law was passed that said that the children of people who come to this country illegally, after 20 days, they have to be placed in the custody either of HHS or they've got to be placed with a sponsor or a family member. That's what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's the question, though. Are there, the other charge against the Trump administration is that there are 1,475 migrant children that are missing. Now, what does that mean? When you hear that, what do you think? If I came to you and I said, Hannah, we've got almost 1,500 children in this country that are missing.
They've been kidnapped. I mean, you know, nobody
milk
has any
carton.
Idea.
They're all on a milk
yeah,
carton.
Yeah, nobody
somewhere.
Has any idea where they're at and who they're with.
Right.
And they're with strangers. Wherever they're at, they're with strangers.
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking.
They've probably been abducted into some kind of international
right,
ring.
Or...
They're in Scandinavia by now. They're being, you know, exploited as child prostitutes. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that the left is pushing. That's the narrative. The truth is the Department of Health and Human Services called 7,635 children in late 2017 that they'd placed with sponsors according to the law. The law says that they have to be placed with sponsors or family members. That's who they were placed with. The agency found 6,075 of the children were still living with their sponsors. 28 had run away, 5 had been deported, and 52 were living with someone other than the person that they were placed with. The remaining 1,475 had gone missing. Now, are they living on the street? Eating out of trash cans?
Probably not.
No. It simply means that it's very likely that the majority of these were placed with people who are illegal immigrants themselves. They're family members of the people who came here illegally.
Right.
And they won't answer the phone. They won't respond.
They don't want to respond because they don't want to then be deported themselves.
They've
so
disappeared.
They're going off the grid.
So exactly. And they've taken these children with them. It's not that they're wandering the street, which is what the left wants you to picture that. Now, were these 1,475 children, here's the other question, were they ripped out of their parents' arms?
Nope, these are actually children that cross the border unaccompanied. Now, we want to talk about parental abuse.
I did not know that.
Who lets their kids, you know, come across the border or send them across the border without them? And you say, well, they're wanting a better life for them. They're escaping all this poverty and crime and stuff going on. Because what has happened is that when let's say back 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, you had most of the migration coming from Mexico were families.
Or adult men
that were coming into the country. Now you've got all this mess going on in Central America. So you've got these families that are coming from Central America, and some of them are just sending their children out across the border. You remember there was all this happened, by the way, under the Obama administration. Do you remember when the DACA law, in fact,
right, and they just had kids swarming the border.
Sure.
Because everybody said, as long as we can get across the line, then we got a free ticket.
Yeah, then we can, you know, the administration is going to treat us almost like citizens under this program. So right after the DACA executive order got signed, you had a flood of children trying to get into the United States. So all of these 1,475 were not separated from their parents. They came into the United States unaccompanied. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the whole thing has been a lie on so many levels that it's stunning. Now, one other thing, and then we'll go to the break and we'll come back and talk about this some more. But they put out this picture. Did you see the picture of the baby bus? You know? It's a bus full of car seats.
Yeah.
I mean, and so they were saying that this is a transportation device, so when these children are ripped out of their parents' arms, they strap them into these car seats. And can you imagine if they were putting these kids on the bus, first of all, without car restraints? They'd all be arrested because it's against – you can't put a child in a vehicle without that child being in a restraint seat. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to, you know, Denise and I, we never had to deal with, we had to deal with it.
Sit on the hump back there in the station wagon.
Well, you know, I've told you, I stood
straddled
in the seat
the console.
Next to my mama, and when she would put on the brakes, she would throw her right arm out and pin me to the seat. I mean, that's, you know, was that right? No. Was that dangerous? Yes. Am I advocating that? No. But what I'm saying is, you know, now it's got to be a certain kind of car seat.
The five-point harness. The latch has got to be at armpit level.
It's all regulated. I mean, you put a car seat in there that just has a certain kind of strap and it doesn't meet the standard, you can be charged. Yep. I mean, that could be child abuse. Mm-hmm. So in any event.
Or you let it expire and you're in a car wreck and it's an expired car seat.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's right. They only last for what? How many? Is it so many months?
I don't know. No, it's a couple of years. They last. I think it's like 5 years.
Oh,
so
okay.
4 to 5 years. But if you,
Go buy one at a yard sale, or if you do, you better check the date on it and see when your car seat expires. It's like chocolate milk. You got to check the date. But anyway, you know, they really would have been under the gun had they showed a picture of a bus with no child restraint seats that they were moving children back and forth. Turns out that bus is used for field trips. They actually are taking the children, you know, so that if they're with a sponsor or they're somewhere, you know, waiting to get transferred to a sponsor, they take them and they take them out somewhere and let them get out of the facilities. So there's nothing to do with them
going around town and ripping these kids out of their parents' arms.
Locking them into the car seat. It's insane things that are being said and the fact that it's so false. That's the main thing. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this up top of the hour. Stay with us. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah.
Here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Beam.
All right, this is Tony Beam.
This is Hannah Miller.
Yeah, that's her over there. Just
I'm reading.
To be sure. Yeah, that's okay. Well, in case you're really interested about and the reason I'm harping on this picture of this bus with all these car seats is because Russell Moore, who I very much admire and am proud to be part of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention, put out a tweet about this. And, you know, he was talking about that he quoted Jefferson, Jefferson quoted Isaiah, that, you know, the justice of God is going to rain down on us basically because of the... Look, go to the GEO website, okay? It's the GEO Group. GEO is, this is a company that the federal government or ICE has a contract with, and they've set up a facility that has a capacity of about 1,158 beds. Well, these children that they haven't placed with sponsors yet, mm-hmm. that they haven't found a relative yet, they have a place for them to stay that's very nice. Mm-hmm. They take them on field trips. And mm-hmm. part of the contract with this company is that they have to have, they take the children to the zoo, for example. Mm-hmm. They take them to movies. They take them, and these vehicles, they've got a handicap, you know, lift in the back of the vehicle. It's got four drop-down screens so that they can play DVDs and so forth while they're going on the field trip. These are, and all of this to take care of these children. This is being turned into some kind of sinister plot.
How do you think that makes them feel? I mean, that has to be horrible. You know, they've sacrificed all this. They've put their resources into this. They're doing their very best to serve these children the best that they can. And then somebody takes a picture out of context and lies about it. And it just,
and then everybody starts piling
and
on.
And everybody's angry at them. And they're just like, wait, we were doing a good thing.
They actually have, they have to have a teacher and mm-hmm. a nurse. Okay. They have a nurse on all the field trips, just mm-hmm. in, you know, to make sure that the kids are put in their seats properly, and mm-hmm. that if they have any kind of issues at all, they're prepared. I mean, to turn that into something sinister, with all due respect to Russell Moore, mm-hmm. You know, I thought Cal Thomas's, here we are talking about this, and then you heard mm-hmm. Cal Thomas's commentary. Mm-hmm. You know, is look, what are we supposed to do with these children, and how is it that we're being so mean when what we're actually doing, for example, let me explain this a little bit, and then you respond to it. I mean, somebody comes into the country illegally, mm-hmm. they're going to go to jail, okay?
Right.
They're going to be detained mm-hmm. unless they, and if they apply for asylum, it's going to take a while to sort that out. Mm-hmm. What are we supposed to do with their children?
Well, first of all, the problem with all that, I saw this yesterday because somebody said, you know, they're coming, they're seeking asylum, and their kids are being ripped away from them. First of all, you need to ask for asylum before you even get here. Why are you putting the cart before the horse? You know, before you run across the border, you should ask for asylum so then you can come across and your children aren't going to be taken away from you. You shouldn't take that kind of risk. But the second was, you know, to your question is, what was your question?
Well, I'm just asking the question. What are we supposed to do with the kids?
Oh yeah, yeah. When they get, well, I think they're doing what they're supposed to. They're putting them in. They have what it's like 3,000 family units.
Yeah.
Where they put these children.
That's right.
They're nice places. I mean, what do they want us to do? Cart them up to the White House and say, okay, here you go. Stay in the nicest house that we have in the United States.
Well, other than that, or do we put them in jail with their parents?
With their parents.
Do we take them to
That's
a detention
right.
center, which is not a very nice place? I mean, look,
I think the best alternative is to, hey, we have these family units. They're places for the kids. Kids can stay together if there's more than one child. You know, you're not having to sit them down in the prison with the parents. You're exactly right. I think this is probably the best alternative that they could come. And you better believe that there's organizations down there who are humanitarian organizations that are doing their best to meet the needs of these kids.
Well, the bad part about this is it's all being twisted into something evil
when it's actually something,
it's not that bad of a system. Look, it happened under previous administrations. The only alternative, you know, Jeff Sessions said, he told people, he said, look, you come into this country, you come illegally, then it could cause you to be separated mm-hmm. from your children because we're going to enforce the law. The law says that this is what has to happen. And, you know, so what's the mm-hmm. bottom line? Don't come into the country illegally if you don't mm-hmm. want this to happen. And look at it this way. If you and Dustin were caught tomorrow for operating an illegal Coca-Cola and French fry operation out of your basement, then and you were arrested, you know mm-hmm. what would happen to your kids? You know, they're going to, the government's going to take them. They're going to look to relatives mm-hmm. and they're going to place them with relatives. If you didn't have any close relatives, if Dr. Papa didn't live just down the road, mm-hmm. then they would take the children and put them in the care of foster parents
mm-hmm. they have
or
foster
a sponsor
home.
Family. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, and why would they do this? You say, well, that's terrible. We're separating families. You want to send them to prison? Mm-hmm. That's the alternative. Everybody who is accused of a crime and goes to jail, we, as a very merciful country, don't incarcerate the children with the parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't understand. This is the whole argument is senseless. It's based on emotion, not on fact or logic. And that's what progressives
do. And the whole thing is you know, they want to say the government's responsible, the government's responsible. And my response to that is, so, well, what about the parents? They're the ones that made the choice that got them in a position where their children were going to be taken away. And now we're going to put the ante on the government's back and say, well, it's your fault that they were separated. No, it's the parents' fault for the choice that they made, and there's consequences for your choice.
Look, we need immigration reform.
Yes, we do.
We need a better system.
Yes.
But that's going to take Democrats and Republicans coming together. And this kind of rhetoric coming from progressives that sensationalizes a situation falsely is not helping us get to that goal. We're never going to get there by that path. All right, we're out of time for hour number one, but we got another hour coming up, and we got lots to talk about. Trey Gowdy made a statement yesterday that's probably going to aggravate some people in the upstate. We'll see if you are one of them when we come back in the next hour. We'll also do celebrity birthdays, so stay with us.